You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Griot Daily, our Black History Month edition. And of course, all month we're looking at American history, Black history, through the lens of what I call the capital of Black America, South Carolina. Now, why do I call that the capital of Black America? Well, South Carolina culture really created American culture, not just Black culture, but American culture. And to explain that, I want to welcome you to The Griot Daily, the only podcast that will tell you that all soul food is from South Carolina. Today we're going to be talking about a topic I love. Food, man. I mean, I hadn't looked at any surveys or anything, but if you took a poll, I would guess that most people in America eat. It's a scientific necessity, but I'm just guessing here, but I would guess that like more than 60% of the people watching this podcast now or listening eat sometimes. And one of my favorite foods is soul food. First of all, I have to disambiguate the difference between soul food and Southern cuisine, because they're not the same thing. A lot of people conflate the two. Like, soul food is something that is created by Black people and, had spread across the world. But, Southern cuisine is something that they sell at Golden Corral, right? Like white gravy ain't soul food. It's Southern cuisine, but it ain't soul food. One of the things that we talk about during Black history is, how Black people influence the culture of music and art. And I consider, food an art form, right? They call it a culinary art. And a lot of American art was created out of necessity by Black people. And the same is true for the culinary arts. What am I talking about? Well, what do we think of when we think of American food, right? We're talking really about dishes that were created by Black people. And I'm going to give you a few examples. So, when the first white people landed in South Carolina, they were mostly plantation owners who owned plantations, mostly citrus farms in Barbados. And they thought they were going to be doing the same thing here because the climate was kind of tropical. They thought they could plant and grow a bunch of citrus trees, but it really didn't work. The soil was too phosphorus. They tried silkworms. That didn't work. But those plantation owners from Barbados noticed that, even though they were getting sick and they were hungry, they noticed that the Black people weren't starving. Well, that's because the enslaved people that they brought over from Africa had figured out how to grow rice, right? The only place in the world where rice is grown on a mass scale is, there are small little enclaves in Italy, but on a mass scale, it's just Asia and the west coast of Africa. And there were like three kind of unique ways of growing rice. And when they brought those enslaved people here, what those slave people essentially did was consult with each other. They created a form of rice that was more able to grow in South Carolina soil. Europeans weren't really eating rice like that before these Black people brought it to South Carolina. There's like a specific kind of South Carolina rice called Carolina Gold that is probably the rice that you eat today. Like, even when you go to a Chinese restaurant, you're eating the African form of rice that was brought to America. Not only did they use that and they grow that rice, but they would take the scraps from the livestock. You know, very few slaves had access to steaks and stuff like that. So they took those scraps that they would get from the livestock after the livestock was butchered, and they would use it to season their food. I mean, there weren't collard greens in America until they were brought from Africa. Like, what we call sweet potatoes didn't grow in America. Like, really, there are no yams in America still, but that is an African vegetable that was brought over here on slave ships. The same is true for okra. Sounds like we're making a real good, what I call a low vibrational plate right now, right? All of those things were brought here by Africans or created with the ingenuity of Africans. Like, it wouldn't be no sweet potato pie if it weren't for Africans, right? It wouldn't be any of that, those things that you like. Even the dishes that you think of as Native American, for instance, cornbread. Well, you know, Native Americans had been grinding corn into meal before we arrived here. But the idea of putting them in a pot or in an oven is uniquely African American. Native Americans were, you know, cooking food over a fire. But, you know, the barracoons, or people who were kept in cages, were doing this unique form of slow roasting underground, or building these own pits. And they passed down these traditions to each other. You know, it dates back to a West African term, barbacoa, which, you know, now we call barbecue, right? And so these barbecue pit masters, you had to be a pit master to be allowed to roast meat inside or on top of those things that these people had painstakingly built and passed down that knowledge, right? Barbecue, while it is done in other cultures, it is uniquely African American. Same is true with fried chicken. Now, there's a big, huge debate over fried chicken, right? So it is true, Scottish people were eating fried chicken before they came to America, before, you know, white people had ever heard of it. What Scottish people would do was get a chicken, kill it, pluck off the feathers, put it in some hot oil, and eat it. It is an African American dish to bread chicken, put it in hot oil, and eat it. Fried chicken as we know it is a black dish that was brought here by Africans. As a matter of fact, right, like those Scottish people, those Europeans, they could not have even considered making that kind of fried chicken. Why? Well, see, the thing is, by that a man, an African, who came here years before 1619, in 1525, as a matter of fact, he went on this expedition. But he also was the first man to grow wheat and mill it into flour. A black man brought flour to North America. And so, like, we really should own the patents to, like, cupcakes, pound cakes, all of that. As a matter of fact, you know, they call Georgia the Peach State. Well, in 1832, a family from South Carolina left from Orangeburg, South Carolina, and moved to land that had been stolen from Native Americans. And, like, on their trip, they brought some fruit with them. And they brought the man, his wife, a couple of their kids, and 88 enslaved Africans. And they told those 88 enslaved Africans to do two things: build a house and plant those seeds. Well, the seeds had, they had unknowingly germinated, and they had germinated and combined two different kinds of fruit. They planted them. The result of that planting, that fruit, is what we now know as the Georgia peach. And here is an interesting tidbit. That South Carolina family, they were the Fredericks. They intermarried amongst themselves. They moved here from South Carolina. And when I say here, I don't mean to this area of the country. I am literally recording this podcast on the land, at the house that those enslaved Africans built in Georgia that created the peach industry. That's right. I own it now. I gave it back to the ancestors. And that's why peach cobbler, we just really created a meal out of Black history, right? We're talking about some fried chicken. We got some barbecue chicken. We got some, you know, some barbecue, like in the South, like all pig pooling is barbecue. We got some candied yams. We got some collard greens. We got some okra. We got some rice. We got some sweet potato pie. We got some peach cobbler. All of that meal wouldn't have been possible without us, without our knowledge, without our art, and even the seasoning we created, because we grew our own spices down in Charleston and seasoned our own food. And that's why there is no such thing as Southern cuisine. There is no such thing as American food, unless you're talking about a hamburger. There is no such thing as soul food. It is all Black food. We are the ones who feed your soul. And that's why you got to keep subscribing to this podcast. You got to download that Griot app. You got to tell a friend about this podcast. And you got to remember that we're going to always leave you with a good Black saying. And today's Black saying is, good food, good meat. Thank God for Black people, because now we can eat. We'll see you next time on the Griot Daily.
If you liked what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download the Griot app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcasts@thegriot.com.
You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black culture amplified.
I'm political scientist, author, and professor, Dr. Christina Greer, and I'm host of The Blackest Questions on The Griot's Black Podcast Network. This person invented ranch dressing around 1950. Who are they?
I have no idea.
This all began as an exclusive Black History trivia party at my home in Harlem with family and friends. And they got so popular, it seemed only right to share the fun with our Griot listeners. Each week, we invite a familiar face on the podcast to play. What was the name of the person who was an enslaved chief cook for George Washington and later ran away to freedom? In 1868, this university was the first in the country to open a medical school that welcomed medical students of all races, genders, and social classes. What university was it?
No, this is why I like doing stuff with you, because I leave educated. I was not taught this in Alabama public schools.
Question number three, you ready?
Yes, let me try to redeem myself.
How did we go from Kwanzaa to like these obscure...
We got a sport, darling.
This is like the New York Times crossword from a Monday to a Saturday.
Right or wrong, because all we care about is the journey and having some fun while we do it.
I'm excited and also a little nervous.
Oh, listen, no need to be nervous. And as I tell all of my guests, this is an opportunity for us to educate ourselves, because Black history is American history. So we're just going to have some fun. Listen, some people get 0 out of 5. Some people get 5 out of 5. It doesn't matter. We're just going to be on a little intellectual journey together.
LaToya Cantrell?
That's right. Mary LaToya Cantrell.
Hercules Posey.
Born in 1754, and he was a member of the Mount Vernon slave community, widely admired for his culinary skills.
I'm going to guess Afropunk.
Close. It's okay. Afro Nation. So last year, according to my research, it's Samuel Wilson, a.k.a. Falcon.
Wrong. Wrong. I am disputing this.
I'm very, 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 very 99.9999 sure that it is Representative John Lewis, who is also from the state of Alabama. That lets you know, Christina, we got some goodness come out of Alabama.
There is something in the water in Alabama, and you are absolutely correct.
The harder they come.
Close.
Oh, wait. The harder they fall?
That's right.
I'm one of those people that just changes one word.
I mean, I know the song too well.
I just don't know nothing today.
It's
I'm going to pour myself a little water while you tell me the answer.
The answer is Seneca Village, which began in 1825 with the purchase of land by a trustee of the AME Zion Church.
You know why games like this make me nervous? I don't know if I know enough black. Do I know enough? How black am I? Oh, my Lord, we gonna find out in public.
So give us a follow, subscribe, and join us on The Blackest Questions.